Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, I walk you through my day at the beginning of the show and some Love Boat revelations. Adam Ferreira, very funny stand-up, joins us as well. So good first half coming your way. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. Cyber criminals hide malware and emails that look like real invoices, invites, or payment info with the document attached, and then it clicked. When it gets clicked and installs malware on your computer, it's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. This holiday season, you could miss certain identity threats by just monitoring your credit alone and bank statements as well. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information is being used in their network, they will send you an alert, but you're going to be okay because you got LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can help you feel warm and protected this holiday season. Save up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com with promo code Adam. That's 25% off at LifeLock.com, promo code Adam. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Adam Ferreira. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects, and now, still waiting on a vaccine for feminine canine hydration disorder, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. You manage to get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Bald Brian.
Let's play some games.
All right, so Adam Ferreira is going to be in about a half hour or so. Very funny stand-up comedian, and I think American Top Gear host as well. Yeah. I got some hot Love Boat clips.
Oh, good.
Oh,
I was
man.
Getting worried it had been a while.
It had been a while. Speaking of been a while, it is hot today, but it's getting cold at night. And where I am up in the foothills, it's getting into the 40s at night.
Oh, yeah.
And swimming pool's getting cold, ladies and gentlemen. And I got in that pool this morning. It was, I think the water was about 55 and the outdoors was like 48 when I hit it. So I'm starting to get
like hot tub.
Starting to get back into that world.
Do you ever go freezing. Full cannonball?
No, I never do. I found that when you have a kind of a ritual, and the ritual, I think if there's anything that you don't want to do or that may have some pain involved with it, then a ritual is in mm-hmm. is in order, in mm-hmm. order for your brain to sort of hang on to something. And the cannonball doesn't work. The ritual is... It could if it was the ritual.
Right.
The ritual
right.
is walk down into the shallow end. Do not spend too much time lingering. Get your chest in quick. The more time you spend sort of standing in the shallow end with your balls going up into your cavity, the least comfortable it's going to be.
Get your balls retreat for your brain.
Right. You literally get your chest in and start doing the breaststroke yeah. and then get down to the deep end and then sit in the deep end and try to even out. Just sit there and just even out. And when you feel you're even, then it's touch the drain and swim underwater back to the shallow end, and then you pop out. But
the second there's a thought that you could be getting comfortable, make it uncomfortable.
Right. But get even before. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. All this stuff that always sounds like something, it's really nothing time-wise. Like Sunny, you'll be glad to know, is now eating a sunny-side-up egg for breakfast. So I made Sunny a nice egg for breakfast. I got him onto his eggs and off his bagels. So
that should be on your list, like, you know, with the knife between your teeth, all that stuff you want to do, diving in the body of water. Have a dish named after you at a restaurant. I thought of sunny-side-up. Obviously, I'm named after him. But
right.
have a dish named after you, or a sandwich at a sandwich joint, or something like that, or a Carney's dog.
Yeah.
Very good. One ace with bacon coming up.
That's right.
Well, we got
the ace.
We got bitter herbs, but I don't think they're talking. But maybe I don't know. So
it's a drink. Yeah, it's just bitters.
I made so here's the time thing that's funny. And you learn in radio. Well, the two things I've done in my life, radio and boxing, you really learn what 5 minutes is. It's a long time. You can get a lot. You can cover a lot of ground in 5 minutes. Anyone in radio knows you probably have sex for, you know, one in a Gotta De Vida song. So Sonny,
what, are you trying to set a world record?
Sonny's sitting at the breakfast table. He's eating his sunny side up egg, and it's like 7:50, and he's going to start walking to school. They open the school. Well, I don't know if they open the school. They have shifts, and people are like, they told him to bring a camping chair. I guess he's going to be sitting out in the yard.
Use the chair.
Okay, well, as long as he's out of the house, fine.
Yes, he's got somewhere to go. So it was 7:50. He was going to leave at 8. And I said, all right, Sonny, I'm going to take a dip in the pool. I'll see you before you leave. And he said, I'm leaving at 8. And I said, yeah, this is 3 minutes. Like, but don't turn it into 18 minutes. Just do it. Just go plow in, go get it. You want to do it. It's 3 minutes. If you want to kind of sit and torture yourself and think about it, it'll be 20. So, that was the first dip. Sonny got his sunny side up eggs, which is, nice. School is sort of reopening. By the way, when one kid walks to school and the other child insists on being driven to school, it's exactly the same as driving both of them to school in terms of
as well.
Your effort goes. It's like, mm-hmm. Love Boat. Oh, yeah. The Love Jeez. Boat. I sit around at night. I film the TV. And I send the clips to Dr. Drew. I send him texts of the Love Boat. And uniquely,
he's trying to talk a junkie down off the roof, and he gets a text from you.
Right. Uniquely Dr. Drew, because he's a physician and he's a child of the 70s, and he just cannot believe the activity on that boat. And in the last episode, you know, I marvel at Dr. Bricker on the boat pouring highballs and chasing the skirts and stuff. Mm-hmm. But now I found some footage from the last night's episode that I believe takes a cake, because now he's got two ladies. OK, and let me explain the premise. And also, you have to think about this through the lens of a sociologist. The premise is they're having a marriage cruise and they need judges to pick out the best couple to win the grand prize.
Sure.
And it starts by them going to the doc and saying, Doc, do you want to be a judge for this marriage competition? And he goes, oh, please, no. I don't want to have to be burdened with that. What a waste of time.
I don't mess with the attached ladies.
Right. So I don't want to deal with that. So, okay. But then, of course, in true sitcom consistency, of course, the two other judges are a hot blonde and a hot brunette.
Oh, now
we're
in.
Talking. Yeah.
By then, Gopher had slid in and agreed to be the judge. It was Anne Gillian and Marianne from Gilligan's Island. So they got the hot blonde and the hot brunette, right? So now Gopher has slid in. So now we have the three judges. We have Gopher. We have Anne Gillian, and we have the chick from Gilligan's Island.
Does he? Oh, God, he doesn't chloroform Gopher, does he?
well, pretty close. So, first off, I don't understand the conceit, but both girls are there to make out with Gopher or whoever the middle judge is to try to sway them over to their side, but it's unclear what their side is.
What's in it for them?
Nothing.
Yeah, have you ever cared about anything that much?
Well, also, presumably, they're just three judges. Why do they need to look at it her way or her way? We're all just going to judge. We're probably all just going to arrive on the same couple. But anyway, Yeah, Don Wells and Ann Gillian. So
wasn't Ann Gillian in It's a Living?
Yeah, or one of those things where they worked at the restaurant, the revolving restaurant
yep,
up on
exactly.
the
road. Exactly.
She was really hot for a while. So they get the blonde and they get the brunette. Now, the blonde and the brunette have nothing to do in this episode other than hang on the middle judge, although, again, it's unclear what they want from him. But they're both just completely whoring themselves out. And, again, through the eyes of a sociologist, like, how did we think of women in 1980? You know what I mean? Like, who are these people? I don't even know their names. There's no backstory. There's nothing. They're simply there. As sexual objects.
Yeah, yes. They're simply plot devices. Like, right. Presumably in real life, they would be women on a cruise looking to have fun or relax or spend time with their girlfriends. But no, they're just there as plot devices.
And also, hyped up sex creatures.
They'll whore themselves out to Gopher or Doc, whoever is in between them.
Whoever's in the middle.
Any port in a storm.
So they're like, they're going through some Curacao, maybe. I can't remember. They're going to some place around the Panama Canal. And Doc is tired of Gopher getting all the trim, right? Mm-hmm. So Doc sends Gopher ashore. When they're there, he says, go ashore and go get me all this medicine. I need all this medicine. And he goes, okay. And when he goes ashore, then the doc slides in between the two of them. Now, now, of course, Gopher is talking to everyone about medicine. He's just walking along the pier like, I need medicine. And the guy's like, no one understands what he's saying. He's like, I need drugs. And they go, drugs? And then they arrest him. So he goes to the pokey. So he's now locked up there. Now, he's an innocent man, but they don't believe him. They've locked him up. Now, Doc slides in and the scene I'm going to show you is Doc topside leaning against the railing with both the ladies when Isaac comes up and he's concerned. And it's funny. Drew was like, Isaac was concerned about him making out. I was like, Isaac wasn't concerned about him making out with the two ladies on the deck of the ship. He was concerned that Gopher had not returned. But let's see how Doc handles it. All right. We'll play the clip.
We hope you enjoyed your stay in Curacao. Next stop, the Panama Canal.
So Doc's going to be topside, leaning against the railing, making out with both chicks.
Can I see you for a minute?
Excuse me.
Leaves his ladies.
Isaac, how can you take me away from such a beautiful sight?
You see Curacao again?
I'm talking about the girls.
Doc, I didn't see Gopher get back on the ship.
Oh, relax. I'm sure he's around. He's probably off moping somewhere because I stole those judges from him.
Now watch this part. He makes out with one, turns, and starts making out with the other. All right.
Are we to presume these two women have nothing better to do than judge this contest and stay with the other judge the entire time?
They were making out with Gopher 10 minutes ago. Now they're making out. This is the ship's doctor in uniform on the top deck of the ship, leaning over the railing, just making out with the two chicks.
He's got to be the luckiest actor on earth. And well, by the way, you know what else seems very odd? I'm sure more to Brian and I than you, but just because it seems so incredibly out of place. Something with zero, it couldn't possibly have a studio audience, and there's a laugh track.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well,
I mean, like out in the middle of, you know, wherever, and there's a laugh track.
I grew up on cartoons with laugh tracks, so I understand all about laugh tracks where they're physically incapable of actually, where there's no audience. It was a great example of Doc making out with everyone on the deck. He had two ladies this time. The other thing that I would.
Wait. What happened to Gopher?
Yeah, did we ever get Gopher?
He never got out.
He
was locked. They got all the way through the Panama Canal, and he was still locked in this prison.
Oh, is it a Panamanian prison?
Yes. The other part I told you guys about, and I was really having this conversation with Drew today, which is about going to the proverbial railing of life, just sort of looking over the railing. And I thought that if I just gazed longingly out a window long enough that my woman of my dreams would come up and tap me on the shoulder. Because it was the premise of every movie and every TV show. And on the Love Boat, whenever they would go to the railing, whenever you just sit and stare off the railing thinking about the love that you had lost, she would always spot you within 18 seconds. See if you can recognize Donnie Most. By the way,
Ralph Malph
from Happy Days with a full 70s mustache and big Jufro. He's staring longingly over the railing. And God, what's her name? Charlene Tilton comes up to him. But go ahead. Sorry. There he is moping at the railing for all of 4 seconds. And then she spots him moping at the railing. I told you guys I wanted to build a railing in my bedroom in North Hollywood so I could just mope over something and then have someone come up and rescue me from my despair.
Hi. Is Israel taken?
Well, I was sort of saving it for an old friend.
Oh, Marv, I owe you an apology. I know the whole story now.
Emily, listen.
No, please. I doubted you, and I never should have.
Emily.
You're the most decent guy I've ever known in my entire life.
Emily, please. If you don't let me get this out now, I may never get it out. I love you. I always have.
All right. Also, the very flawed theme that the nerdy friend and not the gigolo buddy gets the women. So there's two things that were
hot.
There's two things that were shoved at me, which is nerdy friend always ends up with the hot chick. He doesn't begin with the hot chick, but he ends up with the hot chick, like Mask
He'll
or something.
Win in the edge,
right. And that if you just hang over some railing and give like a 3,000-yard stare, eventually the hot chick will come to you.
Penny for your thoughts.
0 for 2. But the conversation I had with Drew, which was kind of funny, was he said, yeah, it was really beat into his head that if you sat and moped long enough, like on your bed or whatever, somebody would come in. The person you were moping about would somehow magically show up. Yes.
And guess who hates that shit? Girls.
Yeah. They hate like, mopers.
It's like poison looking at that.
Yeah. So anyway, a classic episode with great scenes of Doc making out with two chicks and my gaze rail mope thing, which again, you never have to be there for more than 30 seconds. All right, let's see. Somebody's got a question. It is Sam, 34, from Bakersfield. Sam?
Hi, Adam. Thank you for all these years of entertainment.
Hi, guy.
Hi, guy. Mm-hmm. Gina, you're definitely one of the First Ballot Hall of Fame top three news girls of all time.
Yeah.
And thank you. That's very kind.
You know, there you go. My question is, we fans know that you went from high school to cleaning carpets, and then from cleaning carpets to digging ditches and construction.
Yes.
But we also know that you've always been a big car guy.
Yes.
And loved them since a kid. So my question is, how come you didn't go into the car repair field, car modifying arena, even if it's just Jiffy Lube, where you could be close to cars and, you know, start from there and then build your way up to Jay Leno's garage someday? How come that never happened?
Jiffy Lube, being next to cars because you're enthusiastic, like saying, you love the ladies, why don't you get a job at a methadone clinic?
New lady every day.
Yeah, man.
She's got to have it.
So here's where we're at now versus where we were. In 1982, 1983, we're having a very bad economy, and jobs were very scarce, and you did not get to choose what you did. You had to find a job. There was no, here's what I want to do, or here's where my interests lie, or here's my muse, or any of that. There was, that was not factored in. You had to get a job, not the job, not anything you wanted to do, just a job. Now, once the economy gets a little bit better and things change and stuff like that, you can start picking and choosing, you know, what you want to do. I knew nobody in any field of any kind, automotive or not, and construction labor isn't really a construction job. It's the de facto job that you do when you can't get another job. So the reason all the Latins who come here from Mexico and Central America and South America end up doing construction labor, it's not because they're good at construction labor or love construction labor. It's the de facto grunt job for people that don't have jobs. And I took the de facto grunt job for people that didn't have jobs because there weren't any other jobs. And I was in that category. I was in the category of, you know, uneducated, no skill set, and had to take whatever was there. And that's whatever's there. That's, I think people think construction is like some sort of trade or a calling or work with your hands. It's really not. It's just poor people with shitty parents who don't have any money showing up somewhere. And eventually you get a little skill set, couple of tools and a truck. And next thing you know, that's your business. But that's how it all begins. All right.
Thank you.
Did you ever do any handyman work? You must have at some point, right? Because you're just kind of knowledgeable on a lot of little things.
Handyman is to carpenter what chiropractor is to physician.
Well, I'm sure once you became a carpenter, you didn't do any more handyman work. But in those ensuing, 6 years or whatever?
I would get weird little odd jobs about my, you know, I backed into my mailbox. Can you cement the post back into my lawn? You know, stuff that wasn't particularly glamorous, you know. A lot of painting jobs. A lot of, yeah, but I wasn't like troubleshooting toasters or doing anything like that. I was doing a lot of, I would work during the week, and then on weekends, I would get these odd jobs. But the problem is at the beginning, as I recall, I rode a motorcycle. So I was trying to ride my motorcycle with a sack of cement sitting on the tank of the motorcycle.
Sounds like a metaphor.
And it really
is. Third world stuff right there.
I could kind of do it. I did. I did a mailbox job. I rode out to like Sun Valley on my motorcycle with a sack of cement, probably 60 pounds.
On his head from the river.
on my tank. I just laid it across my tank and put it between my legs. I put my tool bag, you know, I would buckle my tool bags and then sling them and hang them around my neck so I could sort of bandolero style, and I could get stuff done that way. So I did a lot of odd jobs on the weekends. Some of them fell into the handyman sort of category, and then it would be back to the job site on Monday morning. Let's see. We have the Newsom story. He was eating at the restaurant. He had
French offered, Laundry.
The restaurant.
He offered a sort of an apology. He was explaining today that he was invited somewhere. I like when people have to break down the, you know, they have to do like, it's like saying, I want to apologize for drunk driving. It's like, I woke up in the morning. I had my oatmeal. It's like, yeah, okay, let's get to the part where you hit the kid at the crosswalk. Like, he's like, we got an invitation, my wife and I. This was a dear friend. By the way, it's always funny. It's funny, too. It's like, you can't tell us what a good friend he is, Newsom. We're talking about Thanksgiving here.
Mm-hmm.
We understand he's a good friend.
We understand good friends.
Right.
My mom's not coming for the first time in 10 years, but tell me about your buddy.
Right. They went in. He was. There were more people than he'd anticipated. Then he sat down, and he. By the way, he should have never sat down. He should have stood up and left.
Give a good day.
But he did not get up and leave. He stayed and had his. I don't know. You ate there, Brian. How good is that place?
It's fucking spectacular. It's overpriced, of course, but you're paying for the experience, and of course, you know, world class food. It's amazing. I don't know what it'd be like with a large group. It was just me and Christy, but it's fantastic.
But
although he's rich, hold on a second. Sorry, Jeannie. He's rich, and he owns a winery group in Napa. So I have to imagine he's been there a dozen times.
Oh, yeah. They know his order. Did you do the eating menu for two or whatever? Because I think
that's all they offer. That's all they offer. It's just that they just bring you food. It's like 12 courses or something like that.
Would you say, you don't have to say exactly, but from the research I did, would you say that if someone said that was around $850 a person, that that would be a true or false statement?
At the end of the day, I'll include tax and tip and the wine pairing, which you have to do. Come on. Yes, yeah, it's about right.
Hoofah.
Yeah.
So it's two people, $1,700.
In that neighborhood, yeah, it was a bucket list. We was there once. I don't know that we'll ever do it again, but it was Christy's 40th, and you know, yeah. That's it.
Well, it's no shame, and enjoy yourself.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. We are just going to keep bringing you food, and you shall enjoy it, or we're just going to offer the set menu and bring you stuff. In my experience, it's either been the best or the worst. It's either been fantastic or half the things I didn't like.
It's all fantastic. It's a little... If I'm being brutally honest, it's a little of highfalutin, you know, a lot of deconstructed things, a lot of, and it's all very, very, very small. You're not, you know, at the end of the 12 courses, we were satisfied and full, but it wasn't like, oh, bursting at the seams. It was like, oh, that was nice. Let's take a walk. So walk this off.
I remember when I did that up in wine country, I think with Jimmy. Jimmy took me and Danny Two Sheets and Dickie, the Boston's, all to this great resort for our 50th birthday. And we had that whole thing, and they were just bringing stuff out, and no one knew what was or what is. And Cousin Sal picked up the salt plate. There's one thing was like offered on a plate.
Yeah, a bed of like Himalayan sea salt.
And he picked it up and tried to eat the salt, which is like something that falls off the side of a volcano.
Was it Meadowood? Because they're famous for that, and they do that kind of course thing. I don't know if that's where you went or not, but that's a famous resort that does that kind of meal.
I don't know. Look up Meadowood, and maybe that was it. We landed at the Charles Schultz Airport, and I was immediately angry because I hate Charles Schultz.
I flown out of there. I find
him to be overrated. Gloria, 37, Illinois.
Yeah, get it on, guys. I can't believe I'm talking to you.
Get it on, Gloria.
Thank you. I was just thinking, I've thought this ever since I had my daughter's a little older than Tessa. Were your parents, did they treat your kids any differently when they were little? Like, I can't imagine grandparents not being just, you know, over the moon and doting. And I don't know. I think I know the answer to the question, but it's just always baffled me.
My parents with my kids when they were real young.
Or do they treat them like they treated you?
Yeah, they're probably a little bit better, but still them. You know what I mean? Like, like not they're still them, but they did a little better, I think. You know, people mellow with age. I remember.
Okay.
Yeah, so they weren't bad. They're kind of hands offy, but they were fine.
Do they give presents?
But not normal Christmas
presents. Yeah.
Maybe a little bit, you know, back in the day, but obviously not so much these days. And
okay, I gotcha. Yeah,
they're all right. I mean, they're not really. They weren't really meant to be parents or grandparents or I don't know, possibly humans. But they're just sort of around. You know, they're kind of looking out for themselves.
Speaking of mellowing with age, Gloria, I have a question for you. Are your kids' grandparents, i.e. your parents and your in-laws, mine are doting, they spoil Tessa, you know, everything grandparents should do. But it's fun once in a while to watch them discipline her because, you know, she's a four-year-old. She'll get out of control. She'll yell. She'll whatever. And, like, they'll snap back into parent mode. Do your parents ever do that?
Yeah, I definitely see what you're saying, but not like I would do. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
So, yeah. And I appreciate when they do something. So I don't want her to get away with murder.
Me too.
Yeah, it's still, it is. It's fun to see. But
thanks, Gloria.
I don't know.
Appreciate the question.
No, thank you.
Yeah, my mom and stepdad did a lot of babysitting on my nephews when they were younger, which is nice. The babysitting part Do not sleep on the babysitting part, when especially when they're young. All right, let me tell you about Sling TV. Tired of huge cable bills? Want to cut the cord? Worried about missing your favorite shows? I don't know, like Love Boat. Sling TV, same top cable channels for as little as half the price, plus over 50,000 on-demand shows and movies. Make the smart choice and save. Switch to Sling TV. You won't miss a thing except that giant cable bill. Sling has millions of subscribers and starts at only $30 a month for top 30 channels. Plus, they offer bundles and get your local channels for free, so you can save even more. Make the smart choice, everybody, and switch to Sling TV. Get the best cable for the best price. It's easy to switch and save. Learn more at sling.com/Adam. That's sling.com/Adam. Speaking of Adam, Adam Ferreira, very funny comedian and a good guy all around, is on hold. And we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back with Adam right after this.
Didn't matter how insignificant, everything was a tragedy. It was like growing up in an opera. It was like, you took my keys. You took my keys. I know you took my keys.
I did not. I did not. I did not.
The toilet's clogged. Again. Bring me the plunger. I will fix it.
Get it yourself. Get it yourself. I am not your slave.
I will plunge a toilet. I will plunge a toilet.
What do I see?
It's my key.
Adam Ferreira is on the Adam Carolla Show.
That's from the stand-up album. It's Scary in Here, available on Spotify, Pandora, and anywhere you get music. Debuted number one on iTunes. So congratulations, Adam Ferreira.
Thank you, pal. Good to be back. Brian, Gina, how is everybody?
So good to see you.
Where did you record the album?
We did it at Gotham in New York before all this happened. And they said, hey, listen, you want to get it out? I go, I'm not doing anything. Why not? So
I'm looking down the thing. Yeah, we always talk about you doing American Top Gear for all those years with Faust, Tanner Faust and Rutledge Wood. Two of the just nicest guys you could ever really. But by the way, between the three of you, that is a great, easygoing crew. Aren't nice people so much easier?
But here's the thing. I mean, you know, I had a Hammond on my podcast, and I asked him. I said, you know, you guys really seem to get along.
Richard Hammond.
Yeah, he goes
from UK Top
Gear. The mothership. Because we for those of you who don't know, we were the American version of that show, and you did the show, so you know, you got to be close because you're all traveled together. It's a family. And I said, you know, you guys really seem to get along. He goes, oh, mate, you have to. You live together. We're either going to do that or we're going to fucking kill each other. So
that's a good Richard Hammond. Yeah. Man, that'll get your dick sucked at a sorority party. All the 19-year-old chicks, pussies getting wet. Hey, did you hear this guy's Richard Hammond?
It is dead on.
It's dead nuts on. You close your eyes, you think he's in the room.
He's got two of my favorite cars too. He's got a 68 390 fastback, the bullet car.
Oh, the bullet car, the Steve McQueen, yeah.
Except he's got it painted blue with white stripes.
Weird, but okay.
Yeah. And he's got the a 61 E type Jag. Ooh.
Richard Hammond is the guy who got in a rocket car.
Yeah.
And they were going to try to see what it was like at 250 miles an hour in a rocket car, and then he got into a horrible accident, and I mean he got messed up. Well, he got messed up commensurate with crashing at 250 miles an hour in a rocket car.
Yeah.
Then he got in a super electric car, like a crazy electric car, and then got into another crazy accident in the crazy electric car, the $2 million electric car, and just burnt it down. So there was nothing left but the rims.
Yeah, it was a Chevy Volt.
No, what was it? What was that thing?
I have to remember. I think it was in Sweden. I don't recall the car, but I think it was in Sweden. And the reason I said Chevy Volt is because they're recalling them because the batteries are blowing up.
But it shows you, and I've showed you guys Jay Leno and Hemi under glass doing a wheelie and then rolling. Mm-hmm. Like, when you're sitting at home and you're watching it, you're sitting at home and watching it. But at some point when you're doing it, you are doing it. Like,
yeah.
that thing they're doing. When you're in a rocket car, you're in a rocket car. The rocket car doesn't care if you're an actor or rich or anything. If a tire blows, tire blows.
I had to get my drag license just so I look good in evening gown. I had to get my drag license because we did an episode at the Gator National.
Right.
So you got to get a license. You just can't get in it because it's not like a car. I mean, you know, there's a trans brake. There's a throttle, but you basically just rev it up. Until like 8-9 grand, and then you release the trans brake, and it's like getting shot out of a cannon, and it's just like the Millennium Falcon, Gina. The edges go.
Thank you.
The edges go blurry.
Helpful.
And all kinds, and I'm being thrown back, and you question all your decisions, like what the fuck am I doing here? And you're just holding on. Yeah. So I had to do that, and like you said, that's low 11s was 100 and what's that? 120 out.
11s in the quarter mile, although it's not the quarter mile anymore. It's 1,000 feet. The quarter mile is too dangerous, so they shortened it a little bit. But I don't know. Yeah, low 11s got to be 120, 125 miles an hour.
That's instant torque, so it just throws you right back. I actually have a car question for Gina because my wife does this, and I don't know if it's common to all.
Oh, God.
Do you have a Subaru last week?
I do. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You have a seat heater?
Yes.
Okay. I come back. I go to the store. I come out. My wife's waiting in the car, she's got the air conditioning blasting and the seat heater on.
He might be a genius.
Is that common?
I haven't pulled that move, but I respect it.
Yeah, I have no idea. I said, "Honey, are you hot or are you cold?" She said, "I'm comfortable." I said, "Okay." Well, the two fronts just met in the car, and it's raining in our back seat.
Her butt warm and her face chilly.
Yeah, is that it?
Yeah, I think so. That's brilliant. I can't put the seat heater on because one time I accidentally did it and I didn't realize it. And I was driving to meet friends and I was getting like hot and like kind of uncomfortable. And I pulled over and called them and said, "I can't go. I think I have a fever." Mm. And I turned around. I was like, "Oh, God damn it. Yeah. I don't like all the seat heat and the warm."
I
like
love it. I set mine on menopause. I like it so fucking hot.
You have the steering wheel heater?
Yeah, well, the steering wheel heater is uncontrollable. Sometimes it's on and sometimes it's off. I have no idea how to turn it on and off, so that's just catch as catch can. But it's interesting. So maybe we can do this. And by the way, your wife needs to date one of those Hollywood hipster directors who wears the tight T-shirt and a scarf.
Yeah.
Because that's the hot and the cold guy, right? The scarf and a tight T-shirt. But this is kind of a salty and sweet thing for me. Like, mm-hmm. I like the contrast. I like the feeling of the hot rump with the cold air. I won't put it on a hot day or whatever, but I do like that kind of contrast. The thing about the seat heater, you can divide this country on that because I can't tell you how many times as a courtesy move I've turned it on for the passenger when they go, "Turn it off." Like they get weird about it. Like, we're not having anal sex. I'm just warming your cockles
warming you up.
Yes.
I'm disappointed in you. I always thought we were team air conditioner because last night Andy put the heat on before we went to sleep. I was like, no. Turn it off. I don't want to wake up in a sweltering inferno.
I am team air conditioner, but I realized I am team contrast. I want the yin and the yang, the salty and the sweet. Do you think we could divide this country into pro seat heater versus not don't care for it and boiled versus grilled hot dogs?
Oh, yeah, yes.
Yeah.
And I wonder if there's any correlation between the grillers and the seat warmers or vice versa.
Depends where the hot dogs go once the rump.
I'm a grilled dog guy, and I'll do the seat heater.
A grilled dog seat heater.
I'm grilled dog no seat heater.
Okay.
So I guess that's right. About, every 3 out of 4 people will probably agree.
I am steamed dog.
Mm.
I like the snap of the casing. That's my, and then the rush of the juice. But I like them grilled too, but steam dog seat heater. But when you're at that sorority and you're doing your spot on Richard Hammond thing, you do, and then, hey, ladies, you didn't think it could get better? Grilled dog seat heater.
Where am I grilled?
Come on now, ladies.
Where are you on seat massager? They gave me a Lincoln Aviator. I drove it up to Sonoma, and they had a seat massager, and I had it on the whole way.
My thing is
distracting.
I put it on my ass.
It's one thing to fall asleep while you're driving. It's another thing to come. And that, I don't blame the people that fall asleep.
Well, I think one happens first, and then.
Right. Then you hit your refractory period around Baker and cruise right through the bun boy. Right.
Put on the recycled air. I smell the cow shit. It's ruining the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, I like all that the seat can do. I like the massage seat, the heat seat, the cool seat, the vent seat, the heat, the steering, you know, the heater and the wheel. Yeah. I like it. And I also like it because I like anything that says we're pretty fucking soft, pampered and comfortable, but we could be softer and more comfortable. What if we put a massager in the steering wheel? You know what I mean? Like, we just keep going in the personal comfort department, right?
Yep. More stuff. I want a seat heater in a Humvee, in a military Humvee.
Think about,
I'm sure they would too.
Think about just things like, I was thinking about, like, when I was, all right, think about this, think about these things in terms of comfort or pleasure.
Yeah.
Think about coolers. When I was growing up, if you had a cooler, it was made of styrofoam.
Yep.
It had a big chunk taken out of the side of it where someone kicked it once after the Rams lost or whatever. It's a weird top that hurt your teeth when you tried to fit it on top because it made a horrible squeaking sound. All you had in the cooler department was literally a styrofoam cooler. They'd have a medium one and a large one. And then later on, if there was some family you knew who were like professional outdoorsmen or fishermen or something, they'd have a hard Coleman one. But that's about as far as it goes. Now there's 750,000 different kinds of coolers, right?
We're in the age of the Yeti.
Right.
That's right.
There's backpack ones. There's there's a million. We had one cooler. That was it. It was styrofoam. It had a rope on it. It was styrofoam with a rope on it.
You don't even have to go high end. Trader Joe's has the space bags, you know, with the insulation for $6. They hang them on the wall next to the register.
Gina, this one's for you, but devices to bring the ladies pleasure.
Okay.
The entire, the adult toy world, the entire thing, you would go to the Army surplus store in 1974. You'd buy a styrofoam cooler and one of those weird white vibrating wand things, you know.
Army surplus.
From Parenthood. Yeah.
Oh, they had them from Parenthood. They had them at the Army surplus store in North
Hollywood. It's an electric ear cleaner.
It was a drawing of a woman in a negligee putting it on her neck. Like, an intense day at the office.
That's where it goes. Right.
Now there's 750,000 different rabbit ears and bunny ears.
I hear there's Bluetooth.
Oh, there is everything, Gina. All I'm saying is we just had, what did we have in terms of transporting liquid? We had a fucking thermos and a Boda bag. Mm-hmm. That was it. There wasn't all the spun aluminum.
Transport it. We would play outside and drink from a hose. I remember having to disconnect the lawn sprinkler. The hose, the one that went like this back and forth.
Yeah, the Rainbird.
The Rainbird. Disconnect that, drink out of the hose, and hook up the Rainbird again.
Yeah. The Boda bag.
Bike pedaling home.
The Boda bag was an excellent invention. It was like, do you like wine? Yes. Do you like the taste of leather in your wine? I don't know. Well, then this is for you. Like, if you ever pour a glass of wine and go, it's good, but not leathery enough. Yeah. I'm not tasting enough cow.
I can't taste the hide. Yeah.
Right.
I need that horse finish on the Cabernet. The coolest guy, remember the coolest guy on when I was a kid working on a construction site? The coolest guy was the guy that had the little igloo thermos rather than a lunchbox or a bag. Remember
I'll tell you, the coolest guy on a construction site was the guy who had the shorty, the punk little thermos, the short thermos with stew in it. That guy was the winner of the construction site. Like, I was eating generic Triscuits and trying to peel an orange with my teeth, and this guy had the stew.
Yeah. Served out in a cup with the little handle on it.
Yeah. That was one of those, like, one of those moments when you're 23 and you go, maybe I should get married.
Yeah.
Maybe I could get some stew instead of this fucking box of raisins I brought with me.
Yeah. I'd like some stew. That's why you get married.
There was something novel about
death stew us part.
There's something novel about eating like hot, normal food on a construction site. Adam, well, didn't you say your dad was in the trades, right? He was a plumber.
Yeah.
Plumber.
Did kitchens and bathrooms and plumbing and stuff. So I would work for him, and then I would work at a fence company. We would install fences and sheds and stuff. So I'm digging in people's backyards, and invariably you're going to dig up like a dead pet, you know. And I had so there's bones flying because I had an auger. You know, I graduated to work with, there was a guy, Billy, who was an older guy, you know, the guy with the stew.
Was it a gas powered auger?
Yeah. Yeah. So I had to pull start.
Right.
Start it.
You guys see that the giant drill bit and you the hold it and you just
run,
fence.
So you go down into that. Next thing you know, there's bones flying up. People are crying. Fluffy. They come running out and you're apologizing and have to change the line of the fence.
Does having a lot of shitty jobs make you appreciate what you do now?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Because I was never good at them. I mean, we had this discussion before. I don't have that if then go to statement, especially with cars. You know, I can change the oil. I can gap a spark plug, maybe smack the solenoid to get the starter to crank over. But after that, I don't have the mechanical ability. So I'm just grateful that I get to do this because I'd starve if I had to do something with my hands.
We did a survey here. The seat heaters, 3 yes, 5 no.
Right.
Now, is that just 5 no during the winter time and 5 stuff?
No, don't have it.
Just don't like it. We can't hear
don't
you, Chris.
I don't care for it.
Don't we can't hear missing? You, Chris. So.
They said, we just asked if they like it. They said, no, they don't like it. They don't prefer it.
It's weird, right? Yeah. When it's cold, nothing better. I took the...
Although Dawson did say that he's never used one or he's never been around one.
All right. So. Could you imagine the feeling of your rump being warm, though, Dawson? Do you think that'd be agreeable?
In this climate, I don't see the point. If we were living in winter weather, sure,
I live in the foothills. I left my car outside last night. By the way, it gets a lot colder if you don't bring it in the garage. Anyway, I took my daughter to school at 8 a.m. We got in the car, and it was goddamn freezing in that in that car. All right.
I don't know if this is where we separate on the seat, on the heat seater. For me, it's not the rump, which is nice. It's the lower back. Oh, melted butter. Melted butter.
You got lumbar support in your seat?
On the driver's side, yes, but the extra heat is just beautiful. Perfect.
I think Brian said heat seater, and that's why I'm always scared to bring it up, because I can't say seat heater three times without saying heat seater.
Don't replay the tape, and certainly don't get the audio from Brian.
I'll fix it. I'll fix it in post.
Hot dogs here. There's 4 grilled, 4 boiled. So we split. Oh, wow. We split the room. All right.
Aren't those called rippers?
The steamed
or boiled or whatever.
Well, I guess it's how you want your hot dog. I don't know. I love Chicagoan style. That's my favorite style of dog, and that just comes poached. You know, it's not a grilled style, so that's my thing. But
I'm seeing ripper.
Do you like the grill? Because you split them down the middle. You got a place to put whatever you want to put, the mustard or whatever you want to put in there is right in the dog itself.
Mm. I'm saying ripper is a hot dog that's deep fried in oil, which causes the casing to burst or rip.
Ah.
Oh.
All right. I should So, Adam, you grow up, your dad's got the business, you do it, you learn you hate it, which is good. It's good. It's good. That's all I want for my kids. Like, go do something for a summer that you despise so you can have some sort of contrast.
I just wasn't good at it. You know, there was no, because he was so good at it and he could fix a car. He could do that stuff. And you'd come in with a problem, you'd leave happy, and dad was your hero. I couldn't do it, so there was no feedback, you know. That's why when I got laughs the first time, I'm like, oh, I can do this.
I'm not calling your dad a hack, but everybody thinks their dad is really good. You know, he could fix anything. He could do anything. As a guy who's worked on many houses that other dads have worked on before I got there, I can tell you they're not all heroes.
Right. No. My father had a business. So he went in and he did the same thing you did. He fixed the stuff. He did kitchens.
But
and
he cut corners. He gouged the elderly. I'm just saying.
He's a pro.
He's a pro. Did he make a pretty good living doing that when you were growing up?
Yeah, we ate. We didn't have. We ate and we had more comforts than we were in a neighborhood where I could see how good we were doing. And then the rich kid's neighborhood is where we went for trick-or-treating because you got the full-size candy bars, and that's where we saw the imported cars. And that's where I saw my first Jag, my XJ6, and I went, wow. And it was always there because the electrical system was fried. So I was right in the middle of that neighborhood, so I could see where we were, and I could appreciate what we had.
I miss the days when you could really gauge someone's success by the car they drove.
Mm-hmm.
And not even the car, just the make. Like, he's got a Mercedes-Benz. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's like a big deal, or a Cadillac. Yeah. Like, you knew so much. You can do it now with Ferrari and Lamborghini and maybe Porsche. But underneath that, you know,
First of all, they don't look the same now.
Right.
Everything looks, but my father, this was the thing. My father always had, my mother always drove a Cadillac because that was a sign of respect for my mom. A Cadillac was very important to my dad because, you know, he's an old Italian. That's what they do. It was a reward for a life well read. So,
are your parents still with us?
My mom is. My dad passed away. But and the cars were never new. I took my driver's test in a 70 Coupe de Ville that my mother burnt out the back seat because she flicked a cigarette out the window.
Yeah.
And we thought it went out. It didn't. It went in the back seat overnight.
Yeah.
We woke up in the morning and there's smoke coming out of the car, like black smoke. So I'm looking out the window. I'm like, well, no Pope yet. Black smoke is just coming out of the car. And my father and I went back. We ripped the back seat out of the car and we realized we could get lengths of half inch pipe from the trunk through the brace and where the back seat used to go between his two seats and underneath the dashboard. So then that became the plumbing truck. And I would haul pipe and stuff to the jobs in a 70 Coupe de Ville. Pop the trunk, pull lengths of pipe out.
That's got to be one of the largest vehicles to take a driver's test in ever. Yeah. I mean, that car is 22 feet long. That is as big. Cadillac was probably at the height of their sort of full figured size in 1970. How long was a Coupe de Ville? Caddy kept getting bigger and then they started getting smaller. But
77, they got smaller with the Seville.
Right.
76 was, I jumped the 76 Coupe de Ville on the show.
Oh, really?
It was 5,000 pounds. I got this big thing 40 feet in the air and it saved my life because when I landed, it just, the whole front clip bent up and there was no safety measures. Tanner pulled the seat back and put it under the headrest and said, you'll be fine.
But Adam, that's impressive and all, and that's cute, but you should try parallel parking, that son of a bitch.
Oh,
That's where you get street cred.
Yeah, I had to on the road, and there was so much distance from the back wheel to the end of the bumper, I was knocking garbage cans off the sidewalk.
Yeah, it's about 18 and a half feet long, I think is what it is. It's 225 inches, so 240 would be 20.
It's 18 and three quarters.
18 and three quarters long, so that's a lot. That's a lot.
It's
also, nobody... kids don't give a shit about their driver's license anymore. I was counting the days till I could get my driver's license.
Me too, because there was, well, now it's like the world comes into us, you know, and the world comes in through the computer. We had to go out to find the world out there. So I couldn't wait to get out and get my driver's license.
Yeah, I got mine a little after I failed driver's ed. So once again, so.
Did you pass the road test the first time?
I failed driver's ed in high school. So my second semester in the 10th grade was you'd take driver's ed for your second semester and then you would turn 16 at the end of the second semester going into the summer. And so you'd have your driver's ed. Anyway, I failed driver's ed. So I could not get my driver's license when I got out of the 10th grade. I had to go take a private school. I
just go, you gotta take, get like, tutored.
There are all these stupid things in the phone book about, you know, 3 days driving academy, you know, 2 days in class instruction. Like, by the way, here's what you learn about school. Everything that took them 5 months can be condensed into 3 days. When you go, soon as you fucking get into the private sector, it's like, hey, that shit that took you 14 weeks, we're doing 1 weekend. One weekend.
You just get it done with people. The best thing is my father was in the Army, and they said, you got to clean your rifles and be inspected before you can go on leave. He just went out and ran the motor pool. He just went out and did whatever he had to do. 5 minutes before he had to go out on leave, he turned his rifle in to be inspected. He went, good. They didn't even look at it because they wanted to go home, too.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Adam, sorry. Stand up. What's your schedule like? I know you're going to be in Cleveland. I know you're going to be in Arlington, December? Virginia.
I got Cleveland December. Hold on. Let's go to the big board. Hilarities in Cleveland December 10th through 12th and the Arlington Draft House December 18, 19, and I'll be in St. Louis for New Year's at the Helium.
Are you making dates? I mean, obviously you're making dates, but have you been out there? Have you been traveling?
Yeah, I was in I did a tent gig in Pennsylvania. They set up this big tent.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Soul Joles gig. Did you see where Big J, some guy attacked Big J on stage, Big J Oakerson?
No, I didn't see that. Mm-hmm. Is it on the internet?
It was on the internet. Someone reached out and grabbed his leg and pulled him down and
really?
So, yeah.
Just drunken fan?
Just drunken stuff, you know?
I don't.
So naturally, I did the gig after him.
Right. Well, look for that clip there, Max Bader.
Yeah.
Let me hit Axon Taser here for a second. 2020 feels unstable and dangerous. Do not live in fear. Taser, by the way. Protect yourself, life-saving self-defense technology. Taser's non-lethal self-protection devices are small enough to carry with you in your purse or glove box or a compartment, but powerful enough to incapacitate an attacker. Guns have unnecessary risks, and even pepper spray can harm you as much as the attacker. Taser products are safer and easier to use. Electric charge immobilizes attackers for up to 30 seconds, giving you time to escape and sends emergency services to your GPS location upon firing. Protect yourself and your family with Taser's smart self-defense products, the number one choice of law enforcement agencies. Right, Dawson?
Taser is available without a permit in most U.S. states. Get the Taser Pulse Plus or the Taser Strike Light at Taser.com with promo code Adam. Save 15% now at Taser.com, promo code Adam, spelled TASER.com, promo code Adam. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Do you have that clip?
Yeah, we're loading it up now.
I didn't hear. How long ago did that happen, Adam?
A couple months ago.
I don't know that much about Big J. What do I need to know?
He's a good guy. He's got the Bonfire on Sirius XM Radio. He's got his podcast that I've done, that I did, and he's a really good guy.
We've had Dan Soder on before.
Yeah, Dan Soder's on the podcast too.
Why would you attack a guy whose name started with Big?
Yeah,
that's the way I look at it.
By the way, it's poor decision making.
Yes, which means you had to be.
I think he heard that drunk. Jay was a boiled guy and he was a fried guy, and this
I'm gonna unite this country by cooking my next set of brats on my seat. I'm gonna turn this conversation into the greatest Reese's peanut butter cup ever by cooking on my seat.
There you go.
All right, do you have it, Mexipata?
Yeah, I'll put it up right now.
All right.
Have you flown since all this?
I've been flying all the time. I'm going to Florida this weekend. Yeah. Got to wait. Oh, pulled him off stage.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God.
That was pretty dramatic.
So the guy from behind is Big J's friend trying to help. But there's a guy at the bottom of the stage pulling the stool.
Oh, and he
the guy in the back came to get him, and the guy pulled the stool, and he went down.
Oh, it looked like somebody ran up and pushed him.
Yeah, no, that was the guy trying to save him. The guy.
I see.
Tool,
wow.
And that's where he went down. Really gotta want Jay to. I mean, this guy really wanted him. That's a big boy. Look at that.
I always love that there's a woman nearby yelling, "Oh my God, what's happening?" By the way, is there ever any reason to yell "What's happening" when you're there? You know
that's
I mean?
Like, what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're looking at it.
What's happening?
Watching it unfold.
Yes. You of all people should know what's happening.
Take it in so you can tell others.
Yeah. Now, if you're like, I'm in the bathroom and I'm on a walkie-talkie, then you may be able to yell, what's happening? But when the Asian doctor is being dragged off the Southwest flight, you don't have to yell what's happening.
Yeah.
You've been there for 40 minutes while the security guys argued with the Asian doctor guy. God, I hope that guy's dead. That would be so nice if that guy's dead. I hate that guy. All right. You know what I think we should do since Adam's here? We should do a double dose of the news. I feel like I haven't gotten great. Enough of Gina Grad and her news the last few episodes. So why don't we take a break and we'll come back and we'll do a double shot of the news with Adam and Bald and Gina Grad right after this.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.